Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
You're listening to the BBC World Service. With the Olympics coming to London in 2012, we've been looking at what effect this is having on the lives of those who live near the site in East London, one of the most deprived areas of England. The BBC's Nina Robinson reports now in the first of a two-part documentary.
Lights coming up.
Young people on this housing estate in East London are practicing for a drama production which uses the 2012 Olympics as a backdrop. Rose O'Black's part of the group.
It's basically about what happens to the people on normal estates in, you could say, deprived areas after the Olympics. So the play is basically about a group of people who, after 2012, how we hope to get on with our lives and what that's done for people who live in places like this.
And this place, with its multi-storey blocks of flats in Hackney, East London, comes with a reputation for crime and poverty, alongside feelings of exclusion from opportunity. In this series of BBC World Service documentaries, we'll be asking how people here are being affected by this huge Olympic investment, costing an estimated $6 billion in this area alone. Will promises of a better future for them be realised? And what will be the reality of their lives after 2012?
You know, people does love sport. Sport is the only thing what connects people in the world.
I can't see it, but I live near it.
The Olympic site itself, the amount of money they're spending over it, it's ridiculous.
If you're not in college, if you're not doing anything, who's going to encourage you to get involved? And I think that, you know, there will be a lot of missed opportunities.
Make an Olympic champion takes 8 Olympic finalists.
London's bid for the Games in 2005 was about inspiring young people into sport and leaving a legacy.
To make an Olympic champion takes millions of young people around the world to be inspired to choose Olympic sport.
Our vision is to see millions more young people in Britain and across the world participating in sport and improving their lives as a result of that participation.
So London is committed to a sporting legacy for Britain and to a far-reaching legacy for the Olympic movement.
In this programme, we'll be looking at sport's role in the lives of people living here and how this might change with the Olympics coming.
Actually, we've got 7 minutes.
Sport's been changing lives here in these parts of East London for decades. It's a familiar route out of the ghetto. From around here, they've emerged a fair number of football and boxing stars.
This side of town, two great sport we get from this side, boxing and football.
James Cook, MBE, is an ex-professional boxer who's living proof of how far sport can take you.
To quite honest, the way I round up my life now, from Jamaica to Peckham, from Peckham to Hackney, from Hackney to Buckingham Palace.
Winning two boxing titles along the way, James received an honour for setting up and running this boxing gym and youth club right here on the estate where he also lives.
Well, I got a letter through the door saying something, and then I chuck it in the bin. And I've got the next letter saying, I'm your servant, and I open it, and I said, servant, I'm never nobody's servant, and nobody ain't my servant. And I still chuck that in the bin. So I start to get...
So you got two letters from Buckingham Palace, from the Queen herself, and they went in the bin.
They went inside the bin because I thought somebody was playing a joke. And then I start to get a phone call now from the boxing board, and the guys then from the newspaper. So I ran down to, I phoned my brother, because he's a computer guy. Could I check, see if my name is on the Queen Honours list? And I think out of all those thousand of people, they say, yeah, your name was the last one. So I said, oh, it could be true then. I actually keep in my mind when I first won the British title, it was in Belfast. And at that time, as you know, Belfast was sort of mad city at this moment. Everywhere was getting blow up. And
was that in the 70s?
That's right. No, that was in the 90s, actually.
Oh, it was in the 90s. Yeah,
I'm not that tall. Come on now.
sorry.
She's there looking in my face. I'm only 49 and a little bit. 50, but it's all right. And at that time, still in the 90s, they had guns, was pointing at people, but they love sport. And when I won the title, I didn't feel I was celebrated the way I should for a British title. And when I was coming back to the airport, three big guys come over to me and they look at me and I thought, oh no, there's going to be trouble. And they said to me, oh, you won the British title and they must buy me the biggest whiskey where you ever get in Ireland. I say, well, then I'll bring over. And I realized, you know, people does love sport. Sport is the only thing what connects people in the world.
I used to do martial arts for years and years and years and stopped and had the kids.
Hilary Bilgris lives up these two flights of stone steps. She's a working mum to two sons. She's been living in this three-bedroom flat near to James's boxing club for the last 20 years.
I trust my neighbours with my spare keys, with my life, and I've had the same neighbours for about 20 years. So I've watched children grow up, I've gone to their weddings, I've been to their children's christenings, which makes me sound like I'm about 100. But that is what I really, really like about it, the fact that I'm going to India next year for my neighbour's son's wedding, for example. So I'd never have those sort of opportunities, I don't think, if I lived in a street. Because I think people they keep themselves to themselves a little bit more. On an estate, you're living on top of each other, so you might as well get on.
But Hilary's main concern about living here are the gangs operating from the estates. She's glad her teenage son has just taken up a new sport.
Boxing.
Okay.
I mean, this is, it's quite a new thing. He's been doing boxing at Tower Hamlets for a few months now. But again, you know, that's something for me because I wanted him to, you know, be able to defend himself out on the street if he has to. There's quite a large police presence in the area. All the boys get stopped and searched, I should say, about 3 or 4 times a day. So that's where I'm coming from. And gangs from my area don't talk to gangs from the area where we are now. And then you can't go to certain parts of Hackney. And if you do, you're likely to get stabbed or beaten up or shot even. And guess what? You can't go to this boxing club because where we live and this estate don't get on at all. So if this is what happens. This is what I'm trying to say. If you come from this estate in E5 and something you want to do is in E9, forget it. You know, they are some serious, serious gangs doing some serious, serious things.
Yes, it falls within the security ring. This neighbourhood comes under drugs and territory, I mean gangs. So therefore it falls under the security ring of the Olympics, which is like 1,000 yards on the opposite direction. So all we do get is pressure from the police.
I meet Daryl James as he cycles around the central square of the estate on a children's bike.
Is this your bike? I don't know whose bike it is, but I'm sitting on it.
He went to prison for 3 years at a time when he himself was deeply involved in a gang. On his release, he turned his life around and won the Thierry Henry Award for his youth work at a ceremony attended by, among others, the footballer Didier Drogba. Daryl echoes Hilary's concerns about whether young people from around here will be drawn in to the Olympic spirit.
There's nothing for these kids, nothing at all, because once you've left school or been kicked out of school, which a lot of them have, there's nobody. If you're not at college, if you're not doing anything, who's going to encourage you to get involved? And I think that, you know, there will be a lot of missed opportunities.
Well, considering that the whole world's coming to London, you know, and not even to London, to East London, not even to East London, to Hackney, you know, I don't think I'm supposed to be jumping up and being happy about that. I think I'm supposed to be that. You're supposed to be making me feel like a part of it. Why should I get out of my house and make the rest of the world feel welcome? I never asked the rest of the world to come here. But since you're coming, let's make a party of it. You know what I mean? Like, involve us. If you want to involve us, get us involved. Like, do certain things within the community. That the Olympic site itself, the amount of money they're spending over it, it's ridiculous. You could have spent that money on a couple of estates in Hackney, in and out of London, and saw that people's lives for the longevity. Not just for how many weeks of the Olympics? You spend that amount of money, that amount of lack of investment around here, but you spend that amount of money for entertainment. It's a joke. So that's how much you consider me. I've been sitting, we've been living in this state under pressure without certain things, yeah, but yet so you can spend 800 to a billion pounds just across the road and I'm supposed to be happy about it. But yet still, my local youth clubs go without. The kids around here go without.
I started off with Bruce Lee's, which is Jeet Kune Do, and then boxing, kickboxing, grappling.
Shireen Rowe is in her 20s and depends on her weekly sessions working out in the Pedro Club gym to keep herself busy and off the street.
Plus, I've got so much energy that I need to direct it somewhere, whereas, yeah, I probably would be getting myself in a bit of trouble.
So what do you do here? We're sitting on the boxing ring in the Pedro Club at the moment. Mm. Do you ever go in this ring?
Oh, yeah. Yep. James took me in there Monday. Takes us for our paces. I'm not actually sparring yet. To be quite honest, I do it to just be strong, let the stresses of the day out on the pad. I think that is the key to my happiness. Even if I haven't got loads of money, the fact that I can go to the park and have a walk, or the fact that I can come here when I haven't got, they allow me in still.
Shireen was working in the accounts department at Chelsea Football Club before she left to pursue her dream job organising entertainment events. But family problems have left her unemployed. She doesn't have much money now, but unlike Daryl, she sees future potential in 2012.
Olympics is a funny one because, like, 5 years ago, I said that I wanted to start up an events company and I was just like, the Olympics are coming and I've got all these ideas, so, like, that is the time I'm going to be able to achieve it. Because the Olympics is such a big occasion and the fact that it's coming to Hackney on my doorstep, it's a bit like Barack Obama winning the American presidency. It's just something special, I think. And the best of the best. If the best of the best are here, it's kind of like, it makes you feel contagious, like, oh, it might rub off on me.
My name's Mark White. I've lived here for 31 years. I'm now chair of the Tenants and Residents Association. At the Tenants Association, we run a football club. Football is a great tool for getting people together.
So we just walked out of the community centre. So the blocks there are about four stories high.
They're all three bedroom flats though.
Right.
The square in there.
So the square over there is where there are lots of shops.
Yeah, do you want to go in there?
And then we've got the laundrette and we've got an off licence and news agents. There's a cafe over there and a small supermarket. And there are also some people sitting around on the benches in the centre of the square.
Yeah, drinking alcohol. And there's the young people who are just like, you know, no hope and for the future and stuff, which is why we decided to say, right, let's take a football over to the marshes and see if they come. And that's what we're doing. And I'm not saying it's solved anything, but it's an intervention, and it's drawn some people away from sitting on the stairwell smoking drugs. You know,
Pop! Jeffrey cut. He cut through Jeffrey.
So I'm just running now on a Saturday morning across Hackney Marshes from the estate in East London, which is on my right-hand side. And to my left is this huge expanse, the largest number of football pitches in Europe, I'm told. I'm just off to find Mark, who's running the football Rangers this morning for the under-10s.
My name's Mark and I'm 9 and I've been playing football for a year now.
I'm Evan and I'm 9.
And what do you like about it?
When we play matches and teamwork, like when you pass and like when you work together and not be greedy.
Tishan, I'm 9 and it's a way to express how you want to exercise and... It's not when you're playing by yourself, it's when you have a team working with you and you can pass it to them. It's when you can play and you don't have your mum coming outside and calling you in for your dinner really early.
You know, for the length of time that you've been doing it, do you feel that you're getting better?
Yes. Yeah. Because the strategies that our manager teaches us in the matches... So you can play in the matches like the passing and the dribbling and all that.
After the game, the kids head back to the estate community centre with Mark to play PlayStation football.
So how much time do you think you spend in this community centre?
Lots of time. I spend lots of time. I come straight from work to here. This room is a PlayStation room. The only game that the footballers are allowed to play is Pro Evolution Soccer. And especially for the young ones, it's great because it teaches them about offside and we don't have to, because that's so hard to teach.
Mark helps run these sessions, but money is an issue.
We haven't really got a training schedule yet. That costs money, which we haven't got.
Most people you speak to on the estate will talk about money, or to be more exact, the lack of it. It's a continuing problem for James Cook at the boxing club, who relies on volunteers and donations to stay open. He sees the need for targeted money at an early age for sport to really flourish.
I went to Spain a couple of months ago and I was watching these guys at the age of 11 play football, and I asked them why they're so good, you know, but it's because I realised that the government invests in them. You know, over a year, it's been a struggle. It's only the last couple of years now we realise we're that far behind. We're trying to put money. And even though we're trying to put money, it's not good enough.
Do you think that the Olympics might provide some of that investment?
I hope so, but I don't think it should take the Olympics. And I don't think 2 years are here. We put in money and going to produce our best Olympian. I think from the going school, they're supposed to start investing.
We got our fingers crossed, most definitely, that more grants will be available. There are a few grants available, but a lot of the time it's about the capacity to engage with the grants, really.
I mean, like, go through the process?
Yeah, and the right language and what you are allowed to apply for and what you're not allowed to apply for, and like having your accounts audited and, you know, having all the correct procedures. That's a problem in Hackney for a lot of community groups. So a lot of them just get on with it, you know, and like just try and do it for free. We want to provide this football for the young people on the estate because it's good for the area, and it's just about finding the time to apply for the funding.
They're busy working at the moment.
Dr. Bekele's after school club in Hackney is for children from the Horn of Africa.
Yes, there's a very large concentration of communities from Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Somali groups around East London.
I've come to hear directly from these kids who are supposed to be the beneficiaries of a sporting legacy about what they expect from the Olympics. Straight away, money comes up as an issue for Abel.
My name's Abel and I'm 9 years old and I was born in England and my dad is from Ethiopia. I play football at home. I could play like in a team when my dad's got enough money.
My name's Sintaya Bekele. I live in Hackney, East London. I'm 15 years old and I'm from Ethiopia.
Do you feel that there is real investment going on, like, in you as a young person living in this area?
Yeah, I reckon everything that's going on here is going to help me in the future, and it's going to give me much more facilities to use, and it's going to make my life much easier.
What are you looking forward to with the Olympics?
I'd like to see distance running, because I'd like to see my country participating.
Oh, what you mean, Ethiopia?
Yeah.
I'd like to see my mum and my dad's country run, because I know that England is good, but I think that Ethiopia is better.
My name is Ahmed Noor Mohammed.
What is your ethnic background?
Somalian.
How old did you say you were?
10.
So you're 10, you're at school. Has there been much going on in your school about the Olympics?
Yeah, we often have assemblies about 2012 and what's going on. We watch videos and the teachers trying to inspire us to do some sports.
Are they inspiring you to do sport?
Yeah, a lot. Sometimes I just go out of the house, get a football, play with my friends, do exercise.
Do you think that you would have done that anyway? Or you need the extra encouragement?
I would have done that anyway. When I come to Hackney in East London, there's big construction sites, and I just feel like peeping over and see like what's going to happen, what's going on.
Ref! Stands up!
Wait, Jason, come here, you're last man.
Construction work is going on right across the road here from the football pitches on Hackney Marshes, where the guys from the estate play matches as part of a wider Sunday morning league, which sees hundreds of players taking part.
Ref! Stand up! Wait, Jason, come here, you're last man.
So what is happening at the moment with the game?
It's 2-2. Lapton were 2-0 down, and we've equalised to make it 2-2. Last minute, we hit the post. Oh, my gosh, we hit the post. We've been on them, we've had a few chances, and just due to bad finishing, we ain't managed to, wrap the game up.
This area of football pitches is earmarked for redevelopment at a cost of $16 million. It will feature a bridge linking it to the Olympic site, new changing rooms which will allow women and children to take part in the sport going on here, and there'll be new pitches to be restored after 2012. However, the footballers are upset over the decision. They fear they'll lose their Sunday morning league in 2 years of disruption. During the Olympics itself, this pitch will be making way for a car park.
This is the most famous Sunday league in England. I think they even said in Europe, because there's hundreds of teams. We've got this plot over here, we've got the plot just around the corner there. We've got five divisions here, and it's one of the most noticed leagues in Europe, Sunday, in regards to Sunday football. And they want to get rid of it, and it's a joke. Look at all the kids and everything. This is an earmark for the community. They cannot get rid of this. We need it.
You know, Sam, you're a big man, though.
You know his dad, are you?
You're a big man, though.
You know his dad, are you? Dad, is he your dad?
As the estate teams argue over the game, I bump into Mark White.
It's done now. This is going to be a car park for the media, and it's gone, and it's like the best bit of the Marshes, and lots of history over here, including David Beckham playing over here, amongst others, and it's just going to be concreted over and used as a car park, and they promised to put it back, but we don't believe them.
One guarantee of 2012 is the chance to see some amazing sport, which James Cook and Hilary Wilgris don't want to miss.
If I don't get a front seat for the boxing and the athletics, I'll be so upset. You know, I'll start a riot myself.
Personally, I can't wait to go and see some athletics. That's what I want to watch. But yeah, what an experience. I mean, you know, when are you ever going to get that? To actually be part of it. And hopefully we will have something afterwards, some kind of legacy for sports, for the kids. Let's hope.
The drama group also have great expectations of a legacy as they rehearse the final scene of the play called Hackney Road, which is set in the year 2012.
Yeah, it's the final scene. It's a scene where a group of young people, they go through their emotions, you know, on a Friday night where it's drinking, pick up, go back to one of their houses, and then something happens. Like, it's like a moment of realisation that they actually want more than just what is the norm, you know. They want to escape from poverty.
For these escapist dreams to be realised, it's going to take an ambitious Olympic regeneration plan, which I'll be looking at for the next programme in this series. We'll continue to follow the residents of this housing estate in the years to come to see if the fine words of a legacy for people living in poverty can indeed ring true.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. The details of them all go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.